People wanting to make a living by becoming doctors often have to endure endless hours as residents, working long days in teaching hospitals. But new safety rules are now forcing doctors in training to cut their work time to a mere 80 hours per week. Kathy Ducham reports from member station KUOW in Seattle.
Harborview is the Pacific Northwest's regional trauma center. Patients here have been shot, stabbed, burned, or broken into pieces. It's the job of the surgical residents to put them back together. This day, it's a man who was shot in the stomach, close range.
Surprisingly, he's been alive for the last 4 days. And because of that, we'll continue to take him to the operating room, clean out his abdomen, and keep pushing through little things here and there.
Third-year surgical resident Stephen Sullivan has been up for more than 24 hours. He says he feels rested, but it's not always that way, especially, he says, in the emergency room.
During that 24-hour period, you don't eat, you don't drink, and you don't go to the bathroom, and you sure as heck don't sit down or sleep.
Concerns over resident fatigue and patient safety are the impetus behind new regulations put in place by the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education. Now residents like Sullivan, who used to work more than 100 hours a week, are limited to just 80.
It is a huge paradigm shift, if you want to call it.
Trauma surgeon Avery Nathans runs the critical care unit at Harborview. Nathans points to the well-publicized case of Libby Zion that came to light 20 years ago. The 18-year-old was admitted to a New York hospital for a high fever. She died the next day. Investigators concluded decisions made by an overworked, sleep-deprived resident contributed to Zion's death. Nathan supports the reduction in work hours, especially given the condition of patients today compared to years past.
A lot of these patients who are in hospital now wouldn't have survived several decades ago because we didn't have the technology to support them. And because of that, the care required of these patients is far more intense. So a 12-hour workday for a resident now is far more intense than a 12-hour workday for a resident 20 years ago because the patients are sicker. The decisions they make now are far more critical than they were 2 decades ago. There's far less room for error.
Still, the journey to the 80-hour work week isn't easy. Residents have to accept that they can no longer care for a patient from the emergency room all the way to recovery. That's hard for resident Stephen Sullivan.
I noticed it especially this week when the attending called me and said, "Steve, go home." And I said, "I don't want to go home." So that was my first kind of culture shock sensation of it, the reality check that, my God, they really are going to make us leave.
Sullivan's concern is that his education will be compromised. The fewer surgeries he can do, the less experience he'll have.
Yeah, we'll just follow up his...
This day, with great reluctance, Sullivan hands off the case of a boy who was hit by a car while riding an ATV or all-terrain vehicle.
ENT will do it. This kid did not have a helmet on, did have loss of consciousness. His whole right side is crunched.
Beyond the residents, hospitals themselves face a tough transition. There's no money set aside to fill the void created by residents who now work one-third fewer hours.
Being an unfunded mandate, we're doing it, but at the same time, our revenues for patient services are shrinking.
Janice Spizo is chief operating officer at Harborview. She says it'll cost Harborview and Seattle's two other teaching hospitals $4 million to hire the nurse practitioners and physician assistants required to make up for the cuts in resident hours.
It just makes it very difficult to continue to run a hospital and operate in the black with continued regulations that end up adding cost.
Spizo says she's also concerned about continuity of care. Nurse coordinator Andrea Gall worries about that, too. She's concerned miscommunication from more frequent patient handoffs could potentially lead to medical errors.
So there's just a lot of, there's a lot of opportunities where you hope things don't get missed, and kind of that's what my job is, too, is to just go through with a fine-tooth comb, making sure that all those details are taken care of.
The next decade will likely be dominated by research into the 80-hour work week, to see if the new system produces surgeons that are just as good or better than in generations past. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Ducham in Seattle.